Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Another American chopper shot out of the sky in Iraq today. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Initial reports are indicating it was a combination of small arms fire and rocket-propelled grenades. They forced the helicopter, a Black Hawk, to make a hard landing. There was a crew of four on board, also five passengers. The military says there were no major injuries and all on board were immediately evacuated.
U.S. military confirming the chopper was shot down by enemy fire, eighth time in the last month. An American aircraft has come down the hard way. Most of the Democrats running for president just sharing a stage today in Carson City, Nevada. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive watching.
Eight candidates agreed on one thing, ending the war in Iraq. Some have timetables, some don't.
It needs to be ended now. Not 6 days from now, not 6 months from now.
Tom Vilsack, former Iowa governor, former Senator John Edwards was tough on Hillary Rodham Clinton, clearly about her vote authorizing the war. He said America needs a leader
who will tell the truth when they've made a mistake, who will take responsibility when they've made a mistake.
Senator Clinton later said,
my vote was a sincere vote based on the facts and assurances that I had at the time.
Adding now, focus on bringing troops home. Senator Chris Dodd, also at this ABC News and Labor Union event, did declare,
it was a mistake, in my view, to vote the way we did 5 years ago on that resolution.
Dan Revive, CBS News.
They've got it. The jury in the Lewis Libby perjury trial. CBS's Barry Bagnato covering the trial of the former White House aide.
Day one of deliberations was a partial day. Federal Judge Reggie Walton gave jurors about an hour's worth of final instructions before handing the case over to them at midday. Libby, if convicted of all counts, could face up to 30 years in prison and more than $1 million in fines.
You know, she may be the smallest preemie ever, weighing less than 10 ounces when she was born 4 months early last October. Amelia Sonia Taylor gets to leave the Miami Hospital and the care of Dr. William Smalling.
She's now 38 weeks, and she's actually going home 2 weeks before she was due to be born.
Living hell, or industry standard. On the PETA website, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, a graphic video of the treatment of chickens at a processing plant run by Trappist monks.
On these supposedly peaceful and holy grounds, our investigator discovered 38,000 chickens confined in a living hell.
Spokeswoman for the South Carolina Abbey.
Neptune Abbey is a member of the United Egg Producers Association, and they follow every single guideline put out by that organization and the Animal Care Advisory Committee. That's where we stand.
The Abbot says its chickens are treated nicely. Britney Spears reported to have left the Malibu rehab facility into which she checked herself less than 24 hours earlier. Second time in a week, the now bald, tattooed mother of two pop star has entered and left a rehab facility within hours. 5 days of win streak comes to an end on Wall Street. The Dow losing 48 points, finishing today at 12,738. This is CBS News.
Hey, this is your kid's MP3 player. That's right, I can talk. You ever check out what your kid's listening to? I mean, blogs and podcasts and stuff like that. People are talking about everything you can imagine out there, and a lot of times there's drugs involved. I heard this one cat say weed makes you smarter because it makes your brain bigger. Now, you don't want your kid listening to fools like that. Come on now. I'm just saying that maybe talk to your kid and check out what he's loading up. Let him know you care, and maybe he'll think twice about drugs.
Listening, the anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Running out of ink? Run into Office Depot. With over 500 ink, toner, and fax supplies guaranteed in-store and thousands more online, Office Depot has what you need at unbeatable prices. Save more by recycling empty ink and toner cartridges. When you think ink, let Office Depot lend you a hand. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
See store for details.
Medication warning for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, the latest on the FDA and ADHD drugs. CBS News correspondent John Hartchi.
The FDA has directed the makers of Ritalin, Adderall, and other drugs that treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder to develop patient medical guides. This literature is intended for the people who take the drugs to read. It will warn about reports of serious cardiovascular events and psychiatric adverse events experienced by some people using these drugs. Last year, the FDA directed the drug makers to include special warnings about these risks in the ADHDA drug literature that goes to doctors.
This could mean a whole new way of life for today's downloading college students. Some universities already receiving more than 1,000 complaints from a trade group for the largest music labels about music illegally downloaded over campus computer networks. Punishments vary from email warnings to semester-long suspension from class. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Hello?
Mr. Johnson, this is Greg's cell phone calling.
My son, Greg?
Yeah, I'm with him all the time. I know what's up.
Yeah? What's up?
Well, the other night, Greg was at this cat's crib, and he was smoking a blunt.
What? I put the fear into that kid?
No, I meant the other dude. Greg passed.
Still, if he was there, let me talk to Greg.
Hold up. G's taking a test right now. I'm turned off.
And then how can...
Try us back after school. That's prime time.
Talking. The Anti-Drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Need professional-looking documents? Office Depot can help. From small jobs to bound presentations, bring in your document or submit it at OfficeDepot.com. We'll ship virtually anywhere. Plus, our work is backed by the Office Depot Satisfaction Guarantee. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
Peter B. Collins!
It's the launch of another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Left Coast. It's unscripted, unrehearsed talk radio. We got a lot on the agenda today, plenty to talk about. We'll get some informed comment on the Supreme Court decision yesterday, a gift to big tobacco. Also, two law professors coming up this hour. Professor Marjorie Cohn from the Thomas Jefferson School of Law will weigh in on the federal court ruling against the rights of detainees at Guantanamo and denying them habeas corpus rights. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Then later this hour, law professor Patricia J. Williams, who teaches at Columbia and writes a column for The Nation called Diary of a Mad Law Professor, she'll be joining us. She's an African-American woman who's going to comment on the debate underway, mostly among white guys, about whether Barack Obama is sufficiently black. Also on today's program, Caroline Wadhams from the Center for American Progress tells us about their new updated terrorism index. And we expect to talk with Larissa Alexandrovna from RodStory.com. She keeps us in touch with the situation related to Iran. And on her blog reports that the Stennis Carrier Group has already arrived in the Persian Gulf, setting some sort of a new sea speed record. That's all ahead. Maybe some laughs with comedian Doug Ferrari. Lots of your phone calls, too. You're welcome to participate whenever the urge strikes you. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-38 and then 573-8372. You can also text me or email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Yesterday, with an unusual array of approvers and dissenters, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of big tobacco. And joining us now is a man who has taken on big tobacco and been successful on many occasions. What happened to my... There we go. He went to the top of Smokeback Mountain and wrestled the tobacco industry more than once. Dr. Stanton Glantz from the University of California, San Francisco, joins us. Stan Glantz, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Always nice to talk with you, and thank you for the work you've done to get cigarette smoking scenes out of the movies. I know that's one of your recent missions, and you've made a little progress in that front, haven't you?
Yeah, well, we've certainly got the studios and the Motion Picture Associations paying attention to it, and in fact... tomorrow there's going to be a secret meeting between the Motion Picture Association and the studios and Harvard University to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
The Weinstein brothers have now agreed to start putting anti-smoking ads from the American Legacy Foundation on the DVDs they distribute that have smoking in them. So that's a step forward. But the big media companies are still stonewalling against the most important recommendation, which is an R rating for smoking. That mm-hmm. would get rid of about half the exposure to smoking in the movies kids get and probably prevent about 200,000 kids a year from starting to smoke.
Yeah, it's obvious that movies make it look cool to smoke, and when people go to the movies, they come out and want to have a cigarette.
Well, that's right, and there's actually quite good science to demonstrate that. And we're basically trying to get these media companies to stop doing Big Tobacco's dirty work for them.
Mm-hmm.
They claim they're not getting paid off anymore. There's a lot of people like me who kind of have a hard time believing that. But, you know, it really doesn't matter if they're corrupt or stupid. If you know, the thing that's important is that smoking in the movies is probably the largest single contributor to youth smoking mm-hmm. that we've got today.
Stan Glantz, I wanted to get your reaction to the Supreme Court's decision yesterday with a very strange array in the majority and the minority. And here's a couple of quotes from the lead editorial in today's New York Times. The Supreme Court's decision yesterday overturning a nearly $80 million punitive damage award against Philip Morris is a win for corporate wrongdoers. It stretches the Constitution's guarantee of due process in a way that will make it easier for companies that act reprehensibly to sidestep serious punishments. It also provides unsettling new evidence that the court is more concerned about and more willing to protect the powerful than the powerless. And at issue here is the appeal of this $80 million judgment, which is largely, I guess the original award was $700,000 or $800,000.
Right.
And then the punitive damages were loaded on by the jury. And
actually, the jury set both numbers. When you have a lawsuit like this, there are two kinds of damages. There are what are called compensatory damages,
mm-hmm.
which is to pay the medical costs or the lost income or things like that for the victim. And then punitive damages, which are only awarded in the most egregious of cases, are meant to punish. That's why they're called punitive damages.
Mm-hmm.
The wrongdoer, in order to act as a civil deterrent to future wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm.
And what the case was, as you said, sent back with some very odd kind of arguments, and it's not. It didn't let Philip Morris get off scot-free, but the problem is that by severely limiting the punitive damages, killing people and losing lawsuits will just become one more cost of business for doing for the tobacco companies. I mean the tobacco companies spend $15 billion a year on advertising. So any kind of reasonable level of punitive damages that the Supreme Court would end up allowing amounts to a couple of hours of advertising.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to get bogged down in the minutiae here, but one of the central points is the jury instructions or the argument before the jury by the plaintiff's lawyer said, think about how many other Jesse Williams in the last 40 years in the state of Oregon there have been,
right,
referring to the man who died as a result of lifetime consumption of cigarettes. And Justice Stevens wrote in his dissent, a murderer who kills his victim by throwing a bomb that injures dozens of bystanders should be punished more severely than one who harms no one other than his intended victim. And that suggests that the plaintiff's lawyer wasn't out of line to make that remark.
Right. Well, in fact, the whole idea of punitive damages is to raise the cost of wrongdoing to the point where there's an economic disincentive on the company to continue the wrongdoing. And in order for the courts to really serve the public interest in tobacco, you need these large punitive damages in order to deter the tobacco companies from continuing to lie and to addict people and to engage in the kind of predatory marketing practices that they use.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even if they end up with you know, a few million dollars in punitive damages in this case. That's pocket change to a cigarette company.
Mm-hmm.
And so the what's going to happen, whereas the tobacco industry used to worry that litigation and punitive damages could basically drive them out of the tobacco business or certainly force radical restructuring of their marketing, this is just going to become one more cost of doing business. They'll lose some of these suits, but the Supreme Court has effectively capped the amount of money that tobacco companies have to pay, and cigarettes are so immensely profitable, they'll just pay it. I mean, a pack of cigarettes, which you go into the store and probably spend $5 to buy today, costs about 5 cents to make.
Right. Yeah, the margins are huge. Now, Stan Glantz, you're a doctor, not a lawyer, but were you surprised that Justices Scalia and Thomas voted with the minority, the dissenters, on this decision?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, as you say, I'm not a lawyer, but everyone had sort of assumed they were going to be supporting business over public health.
Right.
But, you know, they made the point, as I understand it, that the Supreme Court's ruling is kind of muddy, and it's not really giving good guidance back to the trial court, even of what to do. On one hand, they said that the punitive damages could only be based on the damage done to the actual person who was killed.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, Philip Morris had been asking them to establish a ceiling on what those damages would be based on other litigation against State Farm Insurance, and the court also refused to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't really give the trial court a good set of ground rules, so this is probably going to bounce back to the Supreme Court again.
New York Times reports the dissenters tweaked the majority for what they characterized as judicial activism and refusal to give state courts proper respect, and Ginsburg said that in an opinion that was signed by Justices Scalia and Thomas.
Well,
very
I think
interesting.
That's true.
Yeah. Stan, thanks for joining us today, and thanks for all your hard work.
Well, thank you.
Always nice to talk with
mm-hmm.
you. Stanton
Bye-bye.
Glantz, he is a professor at the University of California, San Francisco, leading battler with the tobacco industry. Coming up next, Professor Marjorie Cohn joins us to comment on the federal court, the decision from the appeals court in Washington, stripping habeas corpus rights from detainees at Guantanamo Bay, consistent with the misguided Military Commissions Act passed last October. That's next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer.
The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. It's 21 minutes after the hour. Coming up about 10 minutes away, law professor from Columbia University, Patricia J. Williams, will join us. She's penned a piece that you can read at thenation.com about this kind of phony argument over whether Barack Obama is black enough. We'll talk about that coming up in about 10 minutes. But first, one of our favorite law professors, Marjorie Cohn, from the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. And she is now the president of the National Lawyers Guild. Going to get her comment on the Gitmo decision yesterday. I believe the road to hell leads right through Guantanamo.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh, no, this is the road.
If you listen to this program, you know that I think one of the darkest days in our nation was when the Congress passed the Military Commissions Act last fall in October. In my sense, the Congress was intimidated by the Bush administration, who said, we've got to have this, and we've got to have it right now. Of course, they have not impaneled one military commission as authorized under the law. And yesterday, a major setback for detainees and those of us who believe in the right of habeas corpus and our Constitution, as the appeals court in Washington ruled 2-1 to uphold the law that strips U.S. courts of any jurisdiction over non-citizens held at Guantanamo Bay. Professor Cohn, thanks for returning to our program today.
My pleasure, Peter.
I am, of course, outraged by this decision, but I temper it with the knowledge that the court was essentially rubber-stamping the work of the Congress with some caveats there.
The work of the Congress, of course, which was really the work of George W. Bush, who, as you said, rammed this Military Commissions Act through the Congress, which is still in shell shock since 9/11. Every time Bush waves the 9/11 flag, they give him the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, the Iraq War, whatever he wants. Keep in mind that the same Court of Appeals, different personnel, but the same Court of Appeals, ruled 2-1 in the Hamdan case that Bush's initial military commissions were constitutional, and then the Supreme Court overruled that Court of Appeals decision in Hamdan versus Rumsfeld. Chief Justice Roberts, who participated in the Court of Appeals decision and actually ruled in favor of the Bush administration in Hamdan, did not participate in the Supreme Court decision. So this is two judges who are saying this, and the Supreme Court, I doubt if the Supreme Court is going to uphold this. It remains to be seen. But in a prior Supreme Court decision, Rasul versus Bush, the Supreme Court said that the in response to the Bush administration's argument that Guantanamo is not part of the U.S. because Cuba exercises sovereignty over it, the majority wrote that the U.S. exercises complete jurisdiction and control over Guantanamo, and that aliens held at the base, no less than American citizens, are entitled to invoke the federal court's authority under the habeas corpus statute.
And it was that element of this court's ruling, Judge Randolph wrote it, that really raised what's left of my eyebrows, because I don't believe that just on the simple facts of the matter. And to, you know, believe that the U.S. went to the trouble of establishing this prison at the tip of the island of Cuba in order to argue in a tortured manner, if you'll forgive the reference, that this is not, you know, American soil and therefore the Constitution doesn't apply, number one, I think it's wrong on a moral basis, and number two, as you cited, the precedent doesn't support that.
Well, you know, even John Yoo, who, of course, is the architect of the Patriot Act, the torture memos, the warrantless spying program, just about anything bad in the Bush administration, the unitary executive, he, you know, got Bush to put in his signing statements. Even he, in his new book, admits that the reason that the Bush administration took these prisoners to Guantanamo was precisely to keep them out of the reach of U.S. courts. But I don't think the Supreme Court will buy that decision. Now, keep in mind, in Rasul versus Bush, they were dealing with the habeas corpus statute. And if Congress overruled or amended the habeas corpus statute in the Military Commissions Act, then we're dealing with the constitutional right of habeas corpus. And in Article 1 of the Constitution, it says that Congress will not shall not suspend habeas corpus except in times of rebellion or invasion. And the only four times it's ever been suspended in our history were in times that the Congress specified had to do with rebellion or invasion. And that is not the case here. You know, the majority, the two-judge majority in this case yesterday, it's called Bumi Dien versus Bush, made a really astounding argument, and they said, well, Guantanamo is not really sovereign U.S. territory because in the Detainee Treatment Act, Congress defined United States as not including Guantanamo Bay. Well, what if Congress passed a law and decided that, you know, Philadelphia was no longer part of the United States? It's an absurd proposition. But what I think that the Supreme Court is probably going to decide when they do take up this case, I don't think that they will buy the argument that Guantanamo is not under U.S. jurisdiction. But the Supreme Court precedent holds that Congress can suspend habeas corpus if they have a reasonable substitute for the habeas corpus proceeding. And so what the Bush administration tried to do was to have the appeals court just determine that these combatant status review tribunals, which are not, they're not the military commissions to try people for crimes, they're these kangaroo courts that are set up to determine whether somebody is an enemy combatant. And there's no right to a lawyer, there's no right to evidence. It's, the whole thing is just, you know, it's really, really a kangaroo court.
Marjorie, you've cited the issues related to habeas corpus and the suspension thereof. Recently, Attorney General Gonzalez offered a novel and very disturbing interpretation of that, which is to say that while the Constitution talks about exceptions to habeas corpus, he's saying there's no explicit guarantee of habeas corpus in our Constitution.
Well, that's ridiculous, because if there was no guarantee, then why would they constrain Congress in the way it can suspend habeas corpus if it's not a right? I mean, Gonzalez is also the one that told us the Geneva Conventions were quaint and obsolete and
right,
didn't
but,
apply.
But my fear is that the recent appointees, Alito and Roberts, might share that view with Gonzalez.
I think that's probably a good bet. And if you looked at the Hamdan decision, Roberts did not participate, but there were three dissenters, I believe that Roberts would have dissented along with Alito, Thomas, and Scalia. So we have four on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's hard to know how this thing is going to play out. But I'm guessing it'll be a 5-4 decision. The problem is that these poor detainees are going to be languishing there. Some of them have been there for up to 5 years.
Right.
And they're going to be there at least almost another year by the time the Supreme Court, this gets up to the Supreme Court. It's not going to reach the Supreme Court this term, and the term ends in June, and the next term doesn't start until October.
I also hope that the efforts of Senators Leahy and Dodd to repair the damage of the Military Commissions Act will take effect. Thank you, Marjorie Cohn.
My pleasure, Peter.
Nice to talk with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m., from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can win.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Live from the Left Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show.
And I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 33 minutes after the hour.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces, smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces, smiling faces, tell lies.
And I got proof. Joining us now on the Peter B. Collins Show is Patricia J. Williams. She is a law professor at Columbia University, and I know her best as the columnist in The Nation, who publishes a regular piece called Diary of a Mad Law Professor. Professor, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
We honor middle initials, Patricia J. Williams, so thanks for being with us. I'm delighted that you wrote this powerful piece that seems to express some passion and a little bit of rage on your part. People can read it at thenation.com. It's entitled L'étranger, French word for the stranger. And
also the foreigner.
Is that foreigner, not stranger?
It means both, actually. But it sort of has a double-edged meaning, which I thought was appropriate in this sense, in this context.
Yeah. You open the piece by talking about a twinning doll.
Yeah.
Take a minute and explain that to our listeners.
Well, a twinning doll was actually fairly common in the 19th century, and it had many manifestations, but one was a doll with two heads at either end of a common torso, and at one end it would be a white head, and at the other end it would be a black doll's head. And you would turn it one way, and the skirt would cover the other end, so it would be alternately a white doll or a black head that was foregrounded, or that was with the child would play. And I guess there were other manifestations in which there was, there were pretty doll and an ugly doll, but the racialized one was among the most common.
And how does that, as a metaphor, serve to explain how Barack Obama is being perceived and treated in the media? I have to tell you that as a white guy, I'm really uncomfortable with all these white guys who've gone on television discussing their views about the alleged blackness or lack thereof of Senator Obama.
Well, I think that the way in which the dolls served as a metaphor, I think, was best described by some artists who were involved in a presentation at the New York Historical Society, and they described it as the races are joined head to toe, continuously revealing and concealing one another. And I do think that that's been that's a very concise way of expressing the relationship of the two dominantly discussed supposed racial groups in this country since our beginning, even as those groups are not clearly not, they have never been just black or white, but have always been an evolving, revolving series of meshed identities, from Native American to Irish to German to all parts of Latin America, Spanish influence, it's Asian, South Asian. We're about the most diverse society on earth, but we identify ourselves within a generation or two of landing on these shores as either black or white. I think you're right. I have some of the same apprehension, whether it's blacks or whites discussing Barack Obama, that he is defined less by who he is or what he stands for than what he isn't. And I think that Senator Joseph Biden's comments about, he's so clean, which means he isn't dirty, or he's so articulate, which means he actually, he can be grammatical. It's really a kind of exceptionalism that approaches, or that is used to describe him.
And you label it fortunate. You label it faint but unfettered praise.
Yes. Yes, people get so excited in describing that he is sort of almost like us, even though he is this category of what clearly in Biden's and other minds is in the first instance defined as alien and very different from us. The category of black being the quintessential other in our society, I think.
Well, and
how can I put this? You know, Senator Biden was expressing in a very inarticulate and inartful and not so clean way the surprise that I think he feels that this upstart from Illinois with barely 2 years in the Senate is ready to run for president, and Joe thinks it's his turn. And so some of that surprise is about the whole package, not simply the senator's race or ethnic origins.
Well, again, I don't think this is about Senator Biden, and you know, I think that his apprehension about Obama's intervention in a race that he had set his sights on is less interesting to me than the degree to which the same terms are used across the political spectrum. I think I cited in the article as well that Chris Matthews on his show was also expressed very similar sentiments. I think George Bush has expressed very similar sentiments. And I don't think it's a matter of being or that it's rooted simply in competitiveness. And Chris Matthews particularly expressed that he does seem to transcend race because his mother, after all, let's not forget, was white. So I think that there are a number of other factors at stake here than simply, you know, his short political tenure. It's that, you know, he falls into this somewhat vexed category of, you know, the Tiger Woodish new biracialism, as though we weren't all at least multiracial in this country after, again, a generation or so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also that I think that one of the things he's done most skillfully is really employ an immigrant myth. That is to say, Obama has done that. And until perhaps now, that the notion of coming across the seas willingly to participate in the American dream of upward mobility has been almost exclusively a rhetoric of white politicians or of white achievement in this country from which African Americans have been excluded. So this is an African American with a new twist to it. And I think that it's very appealing because it has that grounding in the immigrant myth, which is appealing across a, you know, across a spectrum that includes the majority of Americans who consider themselves white.
Mm-hmm. And as you look at this picture, Obama is also being chided and criticized from the African-American side. I have heard African-Americans say that he's not a real African-American. Now, his father came from Kenya, and while he is not a descendant of West African slave families, to me, the term is adequate. But is there a kind of political correctness among African-Americans about who qualifies for that term?
Well, first of all, let me qualify that. I mean, I think actually that to some degree the media has been delighted to sort of create some sort of tension that African-Americans don't know how to categorize them. I hear very little of that within the African-American community. I think that there have been a number of exceptions to that, and they've gotten a great deal of press. So I don't think that's a general feeling among the African-American community. To the extent that there is that controversy, I think it is ironic, and it underscores the degree to which, again, the category of so-called blackness has been always a very evolving one. So it's a little bit, ironic, if not utterly hypocritical, to have a certain part of the African-American population going back to the motherland to kiss the ground of West Africa and claim it as our own when, in fact, we have our first African-American presidential candidate or a citizen of the United States who actually does have first-degree relations in Africa, and he can't be called African-American.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the question, that this all begs the question of whether or not we call someone black by phenotype, by blood descent, by association, by how they speak, by how they don't speak. And I think that it's a little bit like, I think it was Sartre, and that's another reason I employ him, and Camus, who sort of the existentialists, who said, you know, what does it mean to be Jewish? And as long as it's somebody who's carried off on the trains, then, you know, you fall within that category. And I think as long as you resemble somebody who is going to experience a certain kind of exclusion or the exceptionalism that is greeted many, you know, the word articulate is not something reserved for Barack Obama, but, you know, every middle-class black person in this country who doesn't speak, quote, Ebonics, has been called articulate. It's an experience that's shared. And I don't care whether it's one generation or several generations, if Barack Obama resembles somebody who gets stopped driving while black, then this is an important part of what it means to be in that political sense and a cultural sense in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's high time that both whites and blacks embraced the diversity of that population. We have people who speak only Spanish, people who've migrated from the Caribbean, people who were the children of African-American soldiers and Japanese women who are all African-Americans, and the degree to which all gets flattened.
Mm-hmm.
The only authentic blackness we allow is somebody who speaks a certain way or looks a certain way, I think, doesn't allow us to draw upon the great diversity and the strength of that diversity that's right here on this ground.
I also think that we're hobbled by language that cannot effectively express all of our feelings, some of which are dark and perhaps should be censored or not expressed. But, you know, as people grope for words, Barack Obama is a person of color. I don't think anybody would argue with that. But then in parsing the terminology about whether he is sufficiently black or is truly an African American, some people might, you know, reach for old language or language that was used more recently in South Africa, that he is, quote unquote, colored. To me, it's all kind of irrelevant and used for sniping purposes for people with different agendas, and I'm content to accept the label or description that Senator Obama chooses for himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that even more recently than colored in South Africa, the reason that I think it's important to, you know, that he identifies himself as black as well as African American is that, remember that, you know, colored was a designation of the apartheid government.
Mm-hmm.
And that in making that revolution happen, it was important that many, many persons who identified as colored and also those who identified as white began to call themselves black as a matter of political solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we live in a different moment, and it's not that we don't live in South Africa, but I do think that the expansiveness of the term is something which is useful in a moment that is extraordinarily diasporic, in which the composition of African-American is changing just because the demographic has changed since the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
This is not to say we abandon the civil rights movement. I don't think the civil rights movement was, quote, irrelevant. I don't think that we are over racism. But certainly the quality of, or the character of racial division in this country is changing, as it has always been in flux. It is malleable, and recognition of that malleability so that we embrace the new populations that compose those who suffer discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to me that Senator Barack Obama has grafted his political work onto the foundation of what the civil rights movement provided. And in that sense, I think he's within the tradition embraced by African Americans who are the descendants of slaves in this country. But again, to that extent, you know, so has somebody like John Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it's important to embrace and distinguish the causes for which each stands, as well as the vocabulary that is complicated by things like phenotype or the experience of who is picked out for discrimination by police officers or, you know, real estate agents and
mm-hmm.
that sort of experience.
Understood. We're talking with Patricia J. Williams. You can read the piece that we're describing at thenation.com, and I expect it'll be in the next issue, yes, March 5th issue of The Nation, one of my favorite publications. If you have a question or comment, you can join us right now toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number, and I'll be happy to speak with you on this important subject if you'd like to join us. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new
KRXA 540.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
That I really believe that pagans and the abortionists, the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, people for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the high levels of our government.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out.
All this speculation about the ethnic integrity of Barack Obama is making me a little crazy. I don't know about you. Patricia J. Williams is with us, law professor at Columbia University and the proprietor of the column in The Nation called Diary of a Mad Law Professor. And Professor Williams, you also published a book I see here in 1997 called Seeing a Colorblind Future, The Paradox of Race. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it, but tell us how some of your thoughts from that book and that era apply to these contemporary issues with Senator Obama.
Well, I do think that a lot of what I'm concerned about is the degree to which people take a kind of either-or stance with regard to the discussion of race. Either it doesn't matter at all, or it accounts for everything. And again, I think that the title, gives a sense of precisely that paradox of seeing a colorblind future, that we will never achieve a colorblind future unless we can see the divisions wreaked by race and we can talk about them sensibly. And I think it's a little bit premature. That's the concern I have in this book, and I give some sense of a few steps, I think, in how to talk about it sensibly. We will never make that colorblind future which Martin Luther King dreamed if, in fact, we act like the see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil monkeys. rather than being able to sit down and discuss it in a civil fashion. I think the same thing, you know, is with regard to, you know, the discussions of Barack Obama's status as an American citizen, as a representative in a representative democracy. I think it would be one thing if he said, I am speaking for all African Americans under all circumstances, and there is absolutely no difference between my experience and that of somebody whose grandfather was a sharecropper here in the United States. He doesn't maintain that. What he does say is that he has a very interesting life experience which prepares him to represent a wide spectrum of Americans, whether they be the descendants of sharecroppers or whether they be people from who descended from immigrants from Norway,
mm-hmm.
or whether they be immigrants from Kenya.
Now, in the coverage of his announcement, which he staged in Springfield to draw on the historical record there of Abraham Lincoln, it was interesting to me because it happened on a Saturday, so it didn't get heavy coverage. But because of the novelty of the Obama campaign, there was some coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, there were two different diverging views as people looked at the 15,000 or so people who gathered there on a freezing morning to watch his announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And some people said, wow, look at all the white people there. And other people said, wow, look how few black people are there. And they drew, you know, impressions or even conclusions from that. And I think that's more interesting about the people offering the view than the folks who actually showed up there.
Yeah, I do think that you do have an African American candidate with broad appeal, and I think that it's very interesting when you take polls of people, you know, and you have them guess how many African Americans there are in this country, and you know, African Americans are 12% of the population, and if you have a candidate who appeals to a broad population, and that representative sampling comes out. Or in Springfield, Illinois, where it's even less of the population.
Yeah.
that's going to be reflective of the population of supporters. I think we, again, are so used in this country to candidates in our supposedly representative democracy who are either black or white, and the black candidates only attract black supporters.
Mm-hmm.
And so few black candidates have mustered a significant white support. That it may come as a surprise to the national audience. I'm from Massachusetts, where we've had two candidates who have managed to have that broad support, and I've sort of lived with that initial surprise.
Senator Brooke?
Senator Brooke,
uh-huh.
And now Deval Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
And to look at the audiences that turned out for him, again, we live in a society that is majority, again, people who call them or identify as white at any rate, And the people who turn out for them, you know, tend to have the same proportion as the population at large. So that's a sight I think we will have to get used to, an African American candidate who commanding numbers of white endorsers. We should, you know, let's celebrate that.
Mm-hmm.
But I you know, the idea that there were so few. I think is only a matter of the perception contrasted against candidates who historically have only been able to command the support of African-American candidates.
Mm-hmm. Professor Williams, I don't imagine that Senator Obama or his campaign manager, David Axelrod, have reached out to you on this issue. But
no.
If they sought your advice about how to conduct the campaign, dealing with these dualities that you and I have just been discussing, what would you tell them? How to get from here to 2008 with the kind of sniping and racially themed attacks that one can expect?
Well, I mean, I actually think that that to a great degree, part of his appeal is that he has anticipated some of this and wrote about it. He's a very eloquent writer.
Yes, he is.
However one wants to characterize his speech-making ability, which is very supple and he's very quick on his feet, he's an eloquent, eloquent writer, and I think his autobiography addressed or anticipated some of that. So I would, I think that he doesn't need advice from me on that regard. Again, I think he's already generated so much support because people have read his life story and resonate with it dramatically, you know, in a very heartfelt way. And that's why he is making the inroads he is. I think that what worries me, and what worries me in a way that I'm not sure that any politician can get a full handle on, is the degree to which the media can take one voice of dissent and another voice of dissent and sort of do the tennis game, or I don't want to say hardball, because I don't just necessarily mean that program.
Right, but ping pong.
But take two very contentious voices and make it seem like it's a fight between black America and white America.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With P-Lar. With P-Lar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with P-Lar.
Sundays from 3 to 5.
3 to 5. On AM 540. KRXA.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Another U.S. chopper shot down in Iraq.
You fly the same routes day after day. There's a very good chance the enemy's going to pick up on that.
A big day for a tiny baby.
She's now 38 weeks, and she's actually going home 2 weeks before she was due to be born.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Peter King. The military says a Black Hawk helicopter that went down near Baghdad this morning was actually shot down. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick.
Initial reports indicate it was small arms fire and rocket-propelled grenades which caused this helicopter to make a hard landing. This was a Black Hawk helicopter. It had a crew of four and five passengers on board. This happened just north of Baghdad. There were no major injuries, and all on board were immediately evacuated.
CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says insurgents have gotten better at downing American aircraft, but they're also getting more chances.
First of all, we're flying a lot more missions. We've doubled the op tempo on rotary wing aircraft in the last year, and right now, roughly, we're flying 800 sorties or 800 flights every single day in Baghdad.
A military judge has accepted the guilty plea from a second U.S. soldier in the rape and murder of a 14-year-old Iraqi girl. Here's CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula.
Testifying at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, Army Sergeant Paul Cortez explained that he held down a 14-year-old Iraqi girl and acted as a lookout while four other 101st Airborne soldiers gang-raped and killed the girl. The soldiers then allegedly murdered her parents and younger sister. By pleading guilty, the 24-year-old soldier escapes a possible death sentence. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
Two more soldiers are awaiting court-martial. Now this.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox, unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple, you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Need professional-looking documents? Office Depot can help. From small jobs to bound presentations, bring in your document or submit it at OfficeDepot.com. We'll ship virtually anywhere. Plus, our work is backed by the Office Depot Satisfaction Guarantee. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
Problems at oil refineries in Alaska and Texas, and a pipeline leak in Indiana. They all add up to one thing, and that's higher prices.
prices react strongly, unfortunately, to the slightest hiccup or fire that occurs in our refinery sector.
Oil industry analyst John Kilduff, after oil hit $60 a barrel. President Bush was in Tennessee today. It was billed as a conversation on health care. He also pushed for a tax break. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller was there.
On another trip for his plan to help the uninsured by health coverage, President Bush pressed Congress to enact his plan to make all health care premiums tax deductible up to $15,000 a year.
We want to work with people in Washington, D.C. I'm tired of the politics just like you're tired of the politics.
But the Democratic National Committee blasts the plan, calling it an attempt by President Bush to save his legacy after 6 years of failed policies. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president in Chattanooga.
The jury's gone home for the night after its first day of deliberations in the Scooter Libby perjury case. They'll have to decide whether the vice president's former chief of staff lied to investigators about how the identity of a CIA analyst was leaked to the media. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The rule of thumb is one day of deliberations for each week of testimony, and if that holds true, we will be into next week before we get an answer from this jury. Now, I don't think it's going to take that long. I expect a verdict by the end of the day on Friday at the latest, and if prosecutors don't get one by that day, I imagine they'll be a little bit disappointed.
Headed home, one of the tiniest babies ever, Amelia Taylor, born about 4 months prematurely. She weighed less than 10 ounces, less than 10 inches long. 4 months later, she's up to 4.5 pounds and just over 15 and a half inches.
She's doing all the things that she needs to do comparable to a newborn.
Dr. William Smalling at Baptist Children's Hospital, Miami, says she's thriving but not out of the woods yet.
We don't know for sure what her long-term prognosis will be because no one has ever dealt with a baby this small.
He says Amelia's had respiratory digestive problems as well as other setbacks, but doctors are hopeful that none of that will have a long-term effect. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, this is your kid's MP3 player. That's right, I can talk. You ever check out what your kid's listening to? I mean, blogs and podcasts and stuff like that. People are talking about everything you can imagine out there, and a lot of times there's drugs involved. I heard this one cat say weed makes you smarter because it makes your brain bigger. Now, you don't want your kid listening to fools like that. Come on now. I'm just saying that maybe talk to your kid and check out what he's loading up. Let him know you care, and maybe he'll think twice about drugs.
Listening, the anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Running out of ink? Run into Office Depot. With over 500 ink, toner, and fax supplies guaranteed in-store and thousands more online, Office Depot has what you need at unbeatable prices. Save more by recycling empty ink and toner cartridges. When you think ink, let Office Depot lend you a hand. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
See store for details.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And I got a question. 5.5 years since 9/11. Billions of dollars spent on homeland security and fighting the Great War on Terror. Do you feel safer? This half hour, we're going to take a look at the new Terrorism Index, recently published by the Center for American Progress.
Revolution never come with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Free peace, and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. For a pop and pill culture, drugs companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother your fire?
It's Michael Franti and Spearhead, title song from the new CD called Yell Fire.
Fire, fire.
Joining us now is Caroline Wadhams. She is a senior policy analyst at the for National Security at the Center for American Progress in Washington. Formerly, she served as a legislative assistant for Senator Russ Feingold of Wisconsin on foreign policy issues. She also worked at the Council on Foreign Relations as the assistant director for meetings program and also in New York as a research associate on national security issues. And she also worked at ABC News in the past. Caroline, pleasure to meet you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
I've had the pleasure of talking with a number of your colleagues at the center, but this is our first encounter, and I'm fascinated by the terrorism index that you have put together. Let's first give a quick survey of the methodology. More than 100 people were involved in this survey. 30 of them identified as some level of conservative, 42 as moderate, and 44 as some level of liberal. And I'm looking at the list of participants here. I won't name them all, but just so that people know that you had good representation, Paul Bremer was included in this list of individuals consulted, Larry Diamond at the Hoover Institution at Stanford, Douglas Feith, now of Georgetown University, formerly at the Pentagon's Office of Special Plans, and in the news more than he's wanted to be lately.
Yes.
Jay Garner, who for a minute headed up the occupation of Iraq before Bremer was shipped over there. Slade Gordon, a hard right senator, retired senator from Washington State. And the list goes on. You can read it for yourself at AmericanProgress.org. But this was not just a group of liberals and Democrats who sat back and took pot shots at the administration.
That's correct. And even further, in order to ensure that we had the proper balance between the left and the right, we actually weighted down the answers of our liberals so that we actually have an equal number of liberals to conservatives. The liberals' answers actually weighed less than the conservatives in the survey.
I object to that, Caroline, because we're so outnumbered in every sphere that I hate to see it rebalanced in that manner, but
yes,
I understand why you did it.
Yes, we wanted to make sure that we could present an accurate bipartisan picture, and so we were hyper vigilant about that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Caroline, I've got the PDF up in front of me here, so I'm going to mention some of these graphs. I wish we could show them on the radio and then ask you to give us just a brief description of some of the verbatims or other reactions you got from your distinguished panel.
Yep.
The first one up, thinking about the present situation, would you say that the world is becoming safer or more dangerous for the United States and the American people? 81% said more dangerous. Only 12% said that we are safer.
That's correct. And you can, when asked what was the major reason for why they thought the world was more dangerous, more people chose the war in Iraq than any other reason. And that was actually a different. This is the second time we've done the survey.
That's right.
And these results were different than the first time. In the first one, the Iraq war was not the number one answer. Islamist extremism was. In this one, the Iraq war is what's fueling these experts' perception of a more dangerous world.
Mm-hmm. Next question. In your view, what is the single greatest threat to U.S. national security? The top answer was 25%, nuclear weapons / materials. And the number two answer is other. And the surprise number three at 14% is Bush administration policies, followed by WMD at 12% and jihadist movements, including al-Qaeda, rating only 11%,
yeah,
which is the equivalent of terrorism in general.
Yeah, that's correct. If you look at the numbers, you can. It looks like about 20. The most number of people, 37%, chose WMDs or nukes as the greatest threat. And terrorism is not the number one threat that the experts saw. And we also asked them another question on this, what they thought was the greatest strategic imperative that the United States should strive to achieve in the next 5 years. They did not choose getting rid of terrorism. They chose a denuclearized North Korea.
Hmm.
So it's an interesting, the survey shows interesting things, not only about a more dangerous world, but do we have our eyes on the right threats?
And quoting from the text here, 81% see a world that is growing more dangerous for the American people, while 75% say the United States is losing the war on terror. Now, I have trouble with that phrase to begin with.
Yeah, as do I. As do I.
But if that's what it's called, that's what we'll let it be called here. Those numbers are down a little bit from 6 months ago, yet when asked whether Bush has a clear plan to protect the United States from terrorism, 7 in 10 say niet.
That's correct. There's a sense that the Bush administration has done pretty well by the experts told us through various answers that the Bush administration has done pretty well on curtailing terrorist financing and addressing some of the terrorist sanctuary issues.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't done very well with the public diplomacy, with the softer side of our national security, using the diplomatic tools. They scored really low in, the Bush administration scored very poorly in public diplomacy, in dealing with Iraq, in dealing with also, you know, beyond terrorism, in dealing with North Korea. But in terms of the Bush's plan for combating terrorism, the experts felt that the Bush administration was not tackling the problem in the most effective way.
Next graph here, and we have that painful phrase again, war on terror.
Yep.
You asked your experts, do you agree with the following statement, quote, the United States is winning the war on terror? And when you break it down, first of all, overall it was 75% of your panel disagree with that statement, and 50% of the conservatives, 81% of the moderates, and 93% of the liberals. That 50% number is pretty impressive, even at this stage of the game.
Yeah, that's correct. And when asked about, you know, whether Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and Hezbollah were, you know, terrorist groups, whether they strengthened or weakened in the past year, the experts were split on Al-Qaeda, but they believed that the Taliban and Hezbollah had actually strengthened in the past year. So there was a sense that a lot of these groups have actually gotten stronger. And then we've seen recent reports outside of the terrorism survey, but in the past few days, about a resurgence of Al-Qaeda in the tribal regions of Pakistan. So you wonder how the experts would answer that question now about Al-Qaeda. I mean, I think they might even say the world's an even more dangerous place than they did, you know, a month or so ago when they took this survey.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a sense that we've taken the U.S. and this administration has taken its eye off the ball as it's been focused on Iraq, and that actually while we've been involved and our resources and our troops have been involved in Iraq, the threat of terrorism has actually increased. And it's, you know, it's a very pessimistic view of our efforts.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break here. We're talking with Caroline Wadhams from the Center for American Progress, a senior policy analyst for national security. And we're going through this report that you can find online at AmericanProgress.org. It's called the Terrorism Index, and it's a fascinating study, and it compiles the views of some foreign policy experts that cover the full spectrum. And as you heard, us liberals were weighted down. But it offers, a more scientific analysis of the views of these individuals. So we'll pick up there as we continue, and next we'll talk about the surge and whether it's the wrong surge. Caroline Wadhams from the Center for American Progress will stay with us till the bottom of the hour. And if you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Good evening. Taking a look at your Central Coast traffic. Going to start in Capitola, northbound Highway 1, just after 41st Avenue. Watch out for a large trash can rolling around in one of the lanes right there. Cruising routes, pick that up. In SoCal, Main Street at SoCal Drive, we got an accident. This is a van and another vehicle mixed it up, reportedly blocking the lanes. No lane exact information, so CHP en route for that. Also minor injuries, so got emergency crew and fire department on scene for that already. In Salinas, North Davis Road at West Rossi Street. Watch out for a big orange construction cone in the northbound lane to keep your eyes open for that. This report is brought to you by Charles Schwab. Big account, small account, they all count. Feel valued no matter how much you're worth. Talk to Chuck, Charles Schwab, 1-800-4-SCHWAB. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Visit our website, peterbcollins.com, where you can get full information and access to our archive programs. We continue our briefing on the Terrorism Index, compiled by the Center for American Progress. We're with Caroline Wadhams, a senior policy analyst for national security at the Center in Washington, D.C. And we're joined by Nancy in Phoenix. Hello, Nancy. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B., and good afternoon, Caroline. I wanted to know if you had any input or discussed these findings with Stephen Flynn, who wrote the book America the Vulnerable, and he was interviewed by the 9/11 Commission and also worked under Papa Bush, Clinton, and this Bush for a short period of time. He was asked about a year after the 9/11 attacks if he thought this country was safer, and he said no, and the problem he thought was that we spend 97 cents on the dollar militarily on offense and 3 cents on the dollar militarily on defense, that would be at home here. And he says that makes for a very unsafe homeland, so to speak.
Well, but hey, Omaha has been hardened, and no terrorist is going to attack there.
Right.
Caroline, your comment?
Well, actually, Steve Flynn was one of our participants.
Oh, good.
I actually worked for Steve at the Council on Foreign Relations a while back and have great respect for his views.
So do I.
We didn't actually ask a specific question about funding levels. But DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, we asked the experts to grade them, and they scored very, very poorly by the experts. So I think the Department of Homeland Security is seen as something that needs to be bolstered generally, and that more effort needs to be put into increasing security and enhance and bolstering our U.S. government agencies. I think that was a view that was held by a lot of the experts, but we didn't probe a lot on that question.
And Caroline, has anybody suggested holding an auction for the naming rights of the Department of Homeland Security so we could get a more American name for that damn department?
What would you like to call it?
Like domestic security. Something
sure.
Like that. It's the homeland thing just drives me bonkers.
Yeah, we could put it in our next survey because we plan to do this every 6 months. So
okay,
we'll ask the experts.
I mean, we U.S. Air could buy it. Anything but this homeland. Thanks for your call, Nancy.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Now, the next panel we have here in this PDF, and I recommend it to people again, go to AmericanProgress.org, and on the homepage, click on the link to Terrorism Index. You asked your experts, do you agree or disagree that the U.S. should increase troop levels in Iraq? And fully two-thirds, 66%, said no.
Yep.
Now, you also asked them if they agree or disagree that the U.S. should increase troop levels in Afghanistan. And the president has actually proposed that, but he did it, very much out of the limelight, kind of as a postscript to all of his cheerleading on the surge in Iraq. And most people know that the U.S. took its eye off the ball in Afghanistan minutes after we installed Hamid Karzai because we were diverting troops and budgets to the preparations for Iraq. And everybody knows, except a few adults who continue to watch the Fox News Channel, that there was no connection between the 9/11 attacks and the urge by the Bush administration to invade Iraq.
Yeah, no, it's true. And, I mean, the experts overall felt very pessimistic about Iraq generally. 88% of the experts thought that Iraq had actually made undermined U.S. national security. They did not feel that way about Afghanistan when asked how our efforts in Afghanistan had helped or hurt national security. There was a much more positive feeling about intervening in Afghanistan because of the links with 9/11. But overall, Iraq, just the sense was that we were failing. The Bush administration scored lower in Iraq than in any other policy that the experts were asked to grade.
Well, this is a huge swing. 88% of your experts believe the war in Iraq is undermining America's national security, and 64% believe the war in Afghanistan has advanced our national security goals. Now, I diverge from that because I believe that Afghanistan is unconquerable, and I think we should look at the history there, and we should be really tactical and limited in our approach.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. We don't need to control the entire mountainous and very difficult nation of Afghanistan.
Yeah, well, one thing that was interesting between this survey and the last one was that in the last survey, which was about 6 months ago, 93% felt that the war in Afghanistan had a positive impact on U.S. national security. This time around, as you said, it was only 64%. So there was actually quite a significant drop. I think the experts were feeling not quite as optimistic about our efforts in Afghanistan because of the resurgence of the Taliban and because of the Afghan state is actually faltering right now. The president's recent announcement that he's going to send more troops to Afghanistan, I mean, I personally think it might be a good idea. The only issue is that, this is, he's extending one unit for another 4 months. It's not really an answer to the problem.
Mm-hmm. And for time reasons, I want to skip to the very last panel here. Does the Bush administration have a clear plan for protecting the U.S. from terrorism? 70% of your experts say no, but only 45% of the public. That's an interesting divergence.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we did quite a few comparisons between the public and the experts, and the experts were much more pessimistic than the public was about the state of U.S. national security and about how we were doing in combating terrorism.
Caroline, here's a question we look at every day. Would you support or oppose military action against Iran if it continues to develop nuclear weapons? And of the experts, 61% oppose. That's including all those conservatives with their extra weight.
No, it's true. That's exactly right. And the experts also gave the Bush administration very low grades on our policies towards Iran. We didn't ask specific questions about, you know, what could change, because it's hard to do it in the survey, but they don't feel like the Bush administration has been handling it well.
And finally, is the U.S. safer, about as safe, or less safe? 81% the experts say we are less safe since 9/11. Only 25% of the public says that, though. I'm surprised.
It's interesting. These experts are, this is what they do day in and day out. They look at the state of national security. They're studying Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, and they're seeing a different picture than the American people are.
Caroline, I've got to stop because of time. Thank you very much for your work. Caroline Wadhams from the Center for American Progress. Read the Terrorism Index for yourself. Thank you so much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The British are leaving. The British are leaving. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The facts on the ground. Britain has announced a timetable for pulling 42% of their troops out of Basra. The challenge? Explain why they don't just head north to help us in Baghdad. The solution? Don't mention that part. Just declare success.
The Iraqi forces now have the primary role for security in most parts of the city.
Meaning the British can leave with honor because the job is done. So, Ursula Arrington of Sky News in Basra. It must be like Mardi Gras down there.
The vacuum created presents opportunities for religious divides in the country to grow and for the influence of Iran to become more dominant from across the border.
Whoa, hang on a minute. That's not on message. Let's try Hamid Ali Alikafeh, Iraqi journalist.
They shouldn't leave without completing the job, without establishing real security in Iraq, without training Iraqi security forces.
Okay, then. Let's go to the White House. CBS correspondent Peter Mayer.
The White House says the move shows success in the areas under British control.
That's better. And Vice President Cheney supports that, reassuring our troops during a visit to the USS Kitty Hawk that no one's listening to those Democrats in Congress.
I want you to know that the American people will not support a policy of retreat.
There it is. And so, we learned several things. Proposed withdrawal pushed by Democrats equals retreat. Actual withdrawal by British equals success. Timetables set by America help terrorists. Timetables set by the British are just timetables. And most important, we learn that the last guest to leave the restaurant usually gets stuck with the bill. Now this.
So let's say you go shopping and you walk into the first store you come to. The store says, hey, no need to shop those other stores. We'll give you our price and theirs too. Well, you think that would save you time, but then you come to your senses. How do you really know if you're getting the best deal?
Car insurance websites that promise multiple rate quotes can't speak for GEICO. Shop for yourself at GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. We offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota, and our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We are heading into the free speech zone a little bit early today. Ordinarily, we talk with Larissa Alexandrovna, the investigative managing editor of RawStory.com. She's not available today.
Ready, steady, go!
But I know you are. Lines are open for you. You can talk about anything we've been discussing or something you'd like to bring up of your own volition. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 1-888-573-8372. There's so much to talk about. Dr. Stanton Glantz from UCSF talked with us about the Supreme Court decision in favor of the tobacco industry yesterday. We talked to Professor Marjorie Cohn about the federal decision embracing the Military Commissions Act, denying habeas corpus rights to detainees at Guantanamo. And we hope that'll be overturned by the Supreme Court, if not fixed by the Congress before it gets that far. I thought it was a fascinating exchange with Professor Patricia J. Williams, who writes for The Nation and teaches law at Columbia University, her take on the questions raised about Barack Obama, whether he's black enough, too white. And we also talked with Caroline Wadhams over the last half hour about the fascinating results of the Terrorism Index, the second survey conducted by the Center for American Progress. That's all fair game for your comment, as well as anything else that you know about or want to share with our listeners. Lines open for you right now, 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And before we go to the phones, I just want to offer a couple of ideas, tidbits of information here. One is from Larissa Alexandrovna's blog, which you can visit at largely.com. It's called AT Largely at largely.com. And one of her items here is not related to Iran, which is the beat that she's been working pretty seriously over the last year. According to the Salt Lake City Tribune, Oklahoma City bombing conspirator Terry Nichols says a high-ranking FBI official apparently was directing Timothy McVeigh in the plot to blow up the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City and might have changed the original target of the attack. This according to a new affidavit filed in U.S. District Court in Utah. The official and other conspirators are being protected by the federal government, Nichols claims, in a cover-up to escape its responsibility for the loss of life in Oklahoma. Documents that supposedly help back up his allegations have been sealed to protect information in them, such as Social Security numbers and dates of birth. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Utah had no comment, as did the Justice Department in Washington. Now, I don't have any personal knowledge of Terry Nichols, Timothy McVeigh, or any others who may have conspired and colluded to blow up that federal building. But I do know a guy who was an investigator for the defense of Nichols and McVeigh. And over lunch one day, he told me there's a lot he can't tell me. But that the trial did not identify all of the people involved in the plot to blow up that building. And there is much more to the story than we have been told. Now, he didn't say that Timothy McVeigh was innocent. And I personally don't believe that. I think he was deeply involved in it. But I don't believe that he and Nichols were the only people involved there. Interesting story from truthout.org today. Org or com? I never remember. Yeah, they're .org. Former members of the Bush administration are going public now, warning of the intentions toward Iran. One is Hillary Mann Leverett, former National Security Council Director for Iranian and Persian Gulf Affairs from 2001 to 2004. She has issued a sober warning to the public concerning Bush's intentions with Iran. In an interview with CNN February 12, she accused the Bush administration of trying to push a provocative accidental conflict from Iran as a pretext to justify limited strikes against the country's crucial nuclear and military infrastructures. Her warning comes a day after sources revealed to Newsweek that a second Navy carrier group is steaming toward the Persian Gulf. And we got word today that the carrier group of the John Stennis has arrived in the Persian Gulf. And they got there a lot faster. I think they departed from Bremerton, Washington just a few weeks ago. And they are there. So that is a fact as of today. When asked what the Bush administration should do in its confrontation with Iran, Leverett suggested that we should do what Nixon and Kissinger did with China. We should respond positively and constructively to Iranian overtures, enter into comprehensive talks, and strike a grand bargain. So that's just one voice speaking up. And as you know, on this program, we consider this to be a grave threat posed by not a foreign source, not a murky terrorist group living in a cave, but the guy who currently occupies what he calls the beautiful White House, so beautiful that it prevents him from knowing whether the conflagration in Iraq is a civil war or not. So, we will continue to be watchful and wary and report to you whatever we can find out. Also, I have an apology to issue to Congressman Dennis Kucinich and some of his supporters. We'll get to that in a few minutes here. Lines are open in the free speech zone. We're a little early today, so you're welcome to call the program. You can call with a comment on any subject from any viewpoint and from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Those are the house rules here at the PBC show. Peter V. in Monterey is up first. Hello, Peter.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. I have four quick suggestions for renaming the Department of Homeland Security, if I may.
Oh, good.
Number one, Department of the Jackbooted Thugs. Number two, Department of Extortion and Ponzi Schemes. Number three, Department of Worthless Waste and Whitewashing. And number four, in honor of Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh, Department of Cover-Ups and Conspiracy, Inc.
Ooh, nice. Nice. Now, should we put a corporate name in front of it so that they could pay the government for the right to rename the department? I mean, we have stadiums.
Registered trademark. I like that.
People want to sell the naming rights to the Golden Gate Bridge, to Google. I mean, why should we stop? Why not turn it into a fundraiser, a little bake sale?
Peter, you're thinking like a Republican. I like that about you.
Well, it's the three pills of OxyContin I took just before we got behind the microphone today.
Carry on, my good man.
All right. Thank you for the call. And now to my apology. I received a couple of emails, and I want to thank the individuals who wrote, including Rick Romero, and this note from Angela in Phoenix. We'll just call her Angela B. Hello, humble host. I was so shocked and saddened that you fell prey to the corporate media propaganda on today's show. You actually said out loud over the airwaves, across America, that John Edwards is the only presidential candidate that has a plan for universal health care. What about, in bold type, Congressman Kucinich? Not only does he have a very real plan that has actually been introduced as a bill, H.R. 676, but it doesn't make the insurance companies richer like Edwards' plan does. Kucinich is the only candidate who has a real plan to ensure universal, single-payer health care coverage for all, and he's certainly the only candidate with the guts to say no to making insurance companies richer and taking their money for his campaign. It's a very sad day when I hear the same crap on one of my favorite progressive talk shows that I can hear anytime on the mainstream media. I am still in shock that you fell prey to the tired old tactics of not even considering Representative Kucinich as a presidential candidate. Angela? You got a point.
Excuse me.
I think that I fell into a bit of a trap that many of us do by focusing exclusively on the alleged front runners for the Democratic nomination next year. And in the discussion yesterday, I think the point I was trying to make, not sure if I did, was that Edwards has proposed a plan, and he has talked about how he would pay for it. And in saying no other candidate, I was thinking Obama and Clinton. And you are correct that I should have included Congressman Kucinich and perhaps some of the others. And so for that, I apologize. And I invite you Kucinich supporters to call in. I would like to know more about H.R. 676. I've not read that bill or a summary of it. And I'd like to know what proposal Congressman Kucinich has made to pay for single-payer universal health coverage in this country, which I fully support. Just want to know how he's going to pay for it. So if you can explain that, please give me a call sometime between now and the end of the program today and let me know what you know about the Kucinich health proposal. Now, I will say that we have extended 6 or 7 invitations since the first of this year to Congressman Kucinich to come on the program. And we almost succeeded when I was in Washington at the end of January when we were focused on health care issues at the Families USA Conference. And he was scheduled to come on our show the night before the big peace march at the end of January in Washington. And his press person called me the following Monday and say, well, did he call in? And apparently she's accustomed to giving a schedule to Dennis Kucinich, which doesn't quite get followed. And so I don't know if that's his quirkiness or disarray in their organization. But if you have any pull with the Kucinich campaign, we would love to have him on the program. So do what you can to help us with that. Now to Pete in Phoenix. Hello, Pete. You're on the air on the Peter B. Collins Show.
How you doing?
Okay, thank you.
You know, I was going to say, I'm wondering, with all the facts that we hear coming out of all these people that are saying, you know, we're going to go to war and all this other stuff, at what point are we going to send police to go and arrest the president and the vice president? I mean, at what point do we stop this madness? It seems like it just keeps going on and on and on and on, and I mean, it just everybody's just letting them do whatever he wants to. I mean, at what point is it madness that we, you know, are we just going to sit here and let them just keep doing this? And because I hear your show, I listen to your show on the way home, I listen to some of the other shows, and it's like there's so many facts. There's so many things out there, and I'm wondering, what are people just going to say, why don't we take this guy out of office, and like they do in other countries when they get way out of hand?
Mm-hmm.
They start, you know, they'll vote people out.
Well,
I mean,
well,
we've seen that in a lot of other countries. I mean, I'm just wondering.
Pete, it's an excellent question, and the answer should have been a long time ago. And we are in a state of paralysis in this country, driven in part by the media and the daily distractions of Britney Spears. You know, she's in and out of rehab faster than you and I can get in and out of the car. And I'm sorry to say that far too many Americans take that bait and run with it and ignore the more important issues. That's only one aspect of it. Then we have our elected leaders, including the alleged opposition party, the Democrats. And I think they're trying. I think that they are improving, but they are not yet really having an impact. And essentially, to use a British phrase, we need to deploy a boot on the president's windpipe.
That's a good one.
And nobody seems willing to extend their foot. Go ahead, Pete.
And it's like, I'm trying to like gather, you know, when we as Americans and as people, just people in general, we're going to stop this, because like I said, in other countries, they see it wrong and they go, wait a minute, we got to get rid of this guy. He's going to mess us all up.
Well, I do deeply disagree with my friend, the new speaker, Nancy Pelosi, in quote-unquote taking impeachment off the table. Mm-hmm. I can understand there are many ramifications of it. It's not a simple matter, but it should not be off the table. It should remain a lingering threat to this president, to the vice president, whom Patrick Fitzgerald describes as having a cloud over him. And we really do need to assert ourselves as the American people, reclaim this republic, embrace our Constitution, and throw the bums out. It's got to happen.
I was telling that to somebody last night, because the other day I was listening, I agree with most of what Chris Matthews says. Sometimes he upsets me, but for the most part, you know, I agree with most with Chris Matthews. The other day, you know, he had a thing where he was saying a lot of people in the country don't even know our Constitution anymore. Yeah. Like, they don't teach it no more. And I'm saying, you know, that's something, that's an initiative we should have, that we have so many new people coming from other countries.
Pete,
we should be out and promoting that.
Pete, I'm late for a break. I got to run.
Okay,
thanks for
care.
Your call. Great to have you listening in Phoenix. More of your calls next. Call me now. 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
It's tax time again. And there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Good afternoon. Taking a look at your Central Coast traffic. Got a van and a car mixed it up in SoCal. This is Main Street at SoCal Drive. Van and a car reportedly blocking the roadway. Not quite sure of exactly any information, so CHP and Roots check up on that. Emergency crews as well en route because minor injuries reported, so the fire department actually already on scene and working with the injuries. Watch out for a stalled van in Monterey County. This is westbound 68 at Laurelis Grade. A stalled van actually blocking the westbound lane. And Rio Del Mar northbound 1 at Rio Del Mar Boulevard. A vehicle ran out of gas and now it's blocking the Rio Del Mar Boulevard off-ramp. This report actually brought to you by Chevy. Chevy's whole enchilada fresh feast for just $10.99. Choose from 5 enchiladas like chipotle chicken or zesty beef, all made from scratch, plus a super salad and an ice cream sundae, just $10.99. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
We'll be right back.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking your calls toll-free. An early start to the free speech zone. We couldn't find Larissa Alexandrovna. We figure she's on assignment somewhere. So I'm happy to be taking your calls. 888-5-PETER-B, toll-free is our number. And there's one line available for you right now. Let's go to Larry in Monterey. Larry, thanks for holding on. You're next.
Oh, my pleasure, Peter. Hey, don't you think that Tony Blair's tactic of declaring victory and leaving is just absolutely brilliant?
Well, can we copy it?
Well, I think it is being copied, Peter. This is a direct copy from Vietnam where, you know, we said we won, we left, albeit with a helicopter, you know, in rather specious circumstances. But, I mean, here we go again. And he's just taking that page out of the Vietnam era and saying, we've mission accomplished, we've won, we're out of here. Bye, suckers. And well, it really, yeah, go ahead.
How about the skitsy reaction of Dick Cheney, who was asked to respond to Blair's decision to pull 1,500 out and announce that they're all coming home before the end of this year. And he said, that's good news.
Well, he's on the talking points, Peter. The guy knows how to do the script.
It's good news because the Iraqis are taking over the defense of Basra, according to Cheney. And in his next breath, he talked about just how important it is for the surge of American troops to try to regain control of Baghdad. And he doesn't appear to get the duplicity involved in those statements.
Well, perhaps the Bush-Cheney administration will understand that by declaring victory and getting out, it's the only reasonable way to, you know, end an unjustified war. Again, that's how we did it in Vietnam, and I think that, you know, that's the only logical conclusion right here, and just not condescend to those people who say that we've got to just keep fighting and losing lives infinitum, you know, to say, sorry, we've won. We're out of here.
So how can we convey that to the Republicans in the United States Senate? I was disappointed but not shocked by the vote last Saturday, Larry. Seven Republicans defied the party leadership and joined in the vote to permit debate on a resolution opposing the escalation. And I was hoping to see at least that number up to 10 so that they would have reached the magic cloture number of 60 to permit that debate to go forward. And what it tells me is that the power of the Republican Party on many senators, including some who are up for reelection next year, remains unfettered.
Well, I think that those people who voted against the war, the Republicans, are, you know, following their conscience, and that they're on the leading edge of the Republican Party. But I think on a practical level, we have to look at this like it's a court case. And there's the Senate being put on record for the American voters to come in and decide in two more years in the general elections. Obviously, you know, the voters tried to speak last year, and now we have the Democrats being in the majority in the House and the Senate, but for that policy to be undone, the jury has to come in and vote Democratic.
Mm-hmm. Very well put. Anything else you want to add, Larry?
I just think that you ought to start paying Dave and Eureka for his phone calls.
Well, actually, we have been.
Oh, you have? That's a shame. Okay, nice talking to you.
Joe in Phoenix, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome.
Thank you, Peter B. You know, as usual, you have a great show, but I listen to people call in and they just act so frustrated and so bewildered. Why are we having all these problems? And it's easy to just blame Bush or easy to blame the Republicans or the neocons, but our problems stem because of our involvement in the Middle East now. Now Iraq, talking about going into Iran, and what is the, you know, doctors look for root causes. Why do we have problems with Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, talking about Syria, and of course, last but not least, the Palestinian issue? It all goes back to what Israel wants and how their lobby has influenced our Congress. And I just don't know why it's so difficult for anybody to just understand that. I say this often, and I feel like I'm urinating in the wind, and the wind is blowing back very, very strongly in my face. And it's not because I have some kind of a deep-seated prejudice against anybody of any religious group. I'm just looking at the policies of that country.
You bet. Joe, I want to be very clear that people are welcome to call into this program either as a guest or a listener and criticize the government of Israel. That is not anti-Semitic. And, you know, as long as your speech is within bounds and doesn't cross over into hate talk, I welcome people who want to honestly offer a criticism, and in particular, the linkage of the Bush administration to the fortunes of Israel has led us in many directions that will haunt us for a long time to come. And that's not to say that I believe we should abandon Israel. I think that there is a balanced approach that we can take, and we've seen, as Rice brought Olmert and Abbas together, that she really doesn't have the juice, or maybe it's the diplomatic skills, to really engineer a breakthrough here. And a lot of that goes back to last summer when we sat with our hands crossed and, in fact, resupplied Israel with bombs and missiles as they were pummeling Lebanon in a misguided effort to control Hezbollah. And, you know, we have not only an administration with the wrong tactics, the wrong strategy, the wrong worldview, the wrong imperial intentions, but also they have really forged the wrong alliances by emphasizing Israel and Saudi Arabia over, you know, other players in the region who we need to come to terms with.
I agree with you, but for you to say that Israel was just trying to control Hezbollah, I don't see the indiscriminate bombing of Beirut and innocent men, women, and children as controlling Hezbollah. That was punitive. That was just as much of a war crime as our indiscriminate bombing of Iraq with the shock and awe. We like these cute little phrases, shock and awe, cut and run, you're either with us or the terrorists, you know, all
Joe,
that other
Joe, stuff. I hear you. You get the last word this hour. Thanks for calling. The Peter B.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. The military says an American Black Hawk helicopter that crashed near Baghdad this morning was shot down. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick.
Many of these Black Hawks are used to transport not only troops but logistical supplies to various bases throughout the country. Eight aircraft have gone down in just the past month. That includes two civilian helicopters which went down in Baghdad and six military aircraft.
Nobody was hurt in today's incident. The crew was quickly evacuated. President Bush sees the coming British troop withdrawal from southern Iraq is a sign of progress, but CBS News correspondent Lara Logan reports that there's much more work to be done there.
The south of Iraq has turned into a battleground for rival Shiite militias who dominate here despite the presence of British troops. Well-armed militiamen like these fighters from the powerful Mehdi army compete for control of this oil-rich land. It is these militias and no longer British troops that are the law here.
It's been a big day for one of the smallest babies ever born. Amelia Taylor has gone home from the hospital after 4 months of the intensive care that premature babies need.
She went home today with her parents. She was given a clean bill of health at this point. We don't know what the long-term prognosis will be for sure, but at least at this point, by physical exam and all her medical workup, she seems to be doing quite well.
Dr. William Smalling at Baptist Children's Hospital in Miami says Amelia's had some setbacks, but doctors are hopeful that none will have any long-term effects. Day one of deliberations is done in the Scooter Libby perjury trial. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato is covering.
After about an hour of final instructions, eight women and four men began determining Libby's fate. He could face a maximum of 30 years in prison and more than $1 million in fines if convicted of five counts of perjury, making false statements, and obstruction of justice. Federal Judge Reggie Walton schooled the jurors on the law in this complicated case, warning them not to be swayed by prejudice, fear, sympathy, or favoritism. You are the sole judges of the facts, he told them. By their backgrounds, they appear to be intelligent and savvy. They include an investment economist, web architect, federal agency lawyer, and former art curator. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, U.S. District Court, Washington.
The name of this show could have been When Democrats Attack Each Other. Here's CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
Eight candidates came to a labor union convention in Carson City, Nevada. Questioned by ABC News, they spoke against the war in Iraq and called for more fairness and quality in education and health care. John Edwards was obviously criticizing Hillary Rodham Clinton about the Senate resolution in 2002 authorizing war in Iraq.
We need a leader who will tell the truth when they've made a mistake, who will take responsibility when they've made a mistake.
Senator Clinton responded that her vote was based on the information she had then. Bill Richardson said the candidates should all sign a pledge to be positive. Dan Revive, CBS News.
This is CBS News.
So you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Office Max, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
Does the uncertainty of finding a good used car make you a little nervous? It doesn't have to. The answer is Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. I think uncertainty has just left the building. Honda Certified Used Cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
New warnings ahead for patients who take Ritalin and similar medications. Here's CBS News correspondent John Harchie.
The FDA has directed the makers of Ritalin, Adderall, and other drugs that treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder to develop patient medical guides. This literature is intended for the people who take the drugs to read. It will warn about reports of serious cardiovascular events and psychiatric adverse events experienced by some people using these drugs. Last year, the FDA directed the drug makers to include special warnings about these risks in the ADHDA drug literature that goes to doctors.
In testimony today, Anna Nicole Smith's estranged mother says her daughter last told her that she wanted to be buried near her idol Marilyn Monroe in California. Virgie Arthur wants to bury her daughter in her native Texas. She also wants to exhume the body of Smith's son and bury him there as well. Smith's boyfriend Howard K. Stern says she should be buried next to her son Daniel in the Bahamas. A judge says he'll make a ruling Friday. Peter King, CBS News.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox, unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple, you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Need professional-looking documents? Office Depot can help. From small jobs to bound presentations, bring in your document or submit it at OfficeDepot.com. We'll ship virtually anywhere. Plus, our work is backed by the Office Depot Satisfaction Guarantee. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're in the free speech zone where your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372.
For the music matters, but does it bother us? Not compared to how people matter.
You ever get knocked down? We're taking your calls. As you know the rules, any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice, you're invited to join the conversation here. I have an interesting clip from television I want to play for you here in this segment. But first, Seth has been holding from Phoenix, actually Mesa, Arizona. Seth, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. Good evening. You had put out the question on what the Kucinich, it's actually the Conyers Kucinich health insurance program, how it would be paid for.
Right.
And if you go to the Conyers website, there's quite a lot of information about it. But what it comes down to for paying for the program is that they're proposing that of the maintaining of the current federal and state funding for existing health programs, a 3.3% payroll tax on employers, which I would think would be offset by the fact that they wouldn't be paying these high insurance premiums anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A 5% health tax on the top 5% of the income earners.
Okay.
A small tax on stock and bond transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Closing corporate tax loopholes. And, of course, repealing the Bush tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how they are proposing to pay for this program.
And what's your thought about that?
Well, I think it's fantastic, and the fact that that Kucinich has been saying for years that the only real solution to the healthcare problems in this country is to get profit out of healthcare.
Mm-hmm. I certainly agree with that. And it was fascinating to hear the woman on yesterday. Let me look up her name again here, Grace Marie Turner, from the Galen Institute. And by the way, we were not hoodwinked. We knew who we were talking to, and we invited her on the program because I wanted my listeners to get a sense of the talking points, the attitude, and this, you know, pro-corporate, pro-profit approach that really epitomizes the Bush administration. And here he called in all these CEOs of health and, you know, HMOs and health insurance companies to help him fix the problem that they have created and that they are, you know, currently profiting from. And I wish this had been in yesterday's newspaper, but front page on today's New York Times. It reads, for years, employers have been pushing their workers to pay more for health care, raising premiums and out-of-pocket medical expenses in an effort to save money for the companies and force workers to seek only the most necessary care. You heard Tina Marie, what's her name? Grace Marie, yesterday, saying, yeah, you know, people go to the doctor when they sneeze, and we got to stop that. Well, now some employers are reversing course, convinced that their penny-wise approach doesn't reduce long-term costs. Major employers like Marriott, Pitney Bowes, Mohawk Industries, and the state government of Maine have introduced free pharmaceutical drug programs to avoid paying for more expensive treatments down the road. And, you know, this, I believe, is the more compelling argument than the idea of, you know, that the threat of socializing medical care in this country is going to prevent us from seeing the doctor of our choice. I already can't see the doctor of my choice.
I have the same problem. I mean, I just did our taxes for last year. We're a family of three. I spent more than $11,000 on medical last year between the insurance and actually getting things done.
Mm-hmm.
We spent $11,000. This is a family that has a household income of under $50,000.
Yeah. Well, and now these same people like Grace Marie Turner are promoting health savings accounts linked to high-deductible health insurance policies. And in some cases, you know, if you make more than $100,000 a year, that may be a great way to go. But if you only make $20,000 a year and you have a deductible of $5,000 or $10,000 on your health insurance policy, given the way they rewrote the bankruptcy laws, you could be wiped out with one single unexpected medical setback.
And it doesn't have to be big these days.
No, it doesn't.
To wipe you out, not with that kind of a deductible.
Well, Seth, I want to thank you for bringing out that information. I appreciate your call to the show today.
My pleasure.
Nice to talk with you. Now, we'll take more calls in the next segment. You can grab a line toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. But my intrepid producer, Matt Renner, has dug up a clip that I want to play for you. This relates to Iran. And this is, for me, an unusual source. Catherine Cryer used to be on CNN. She's a former judge from the state of Texas, youngest elected judge in Texas history, if I have that correct. And I think of her as just one of those nuts who, you know, likes to do tabloid crime coverage on television. And in fact, her show is on Court TV, which I never watch, which is why I'm surprised and pleased to bring you this clip. We'll play as much of it as we can here before the break.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once. Shame on.
Shame on who?
Shame on you.
How's that go, W?
Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Take a look at the headlines this week, and you'll see eerie parallels to events leading up to the March 2003 Iraq invasion. Just enter Attack Iran in Google News, and you'll see what the press is saying about plans for an imminent attack on that nation, along with hundreds of articles about alleged new evidence that Iran is now the big enemy in Iraq. A cartoon in this morning's USA Today shows what tomorrow's anti-war movement may look like. In other words, here we go again. At the helm, we have the decider. He recently assured us there are no plans to invade Iran, but we heard that in 2002.
I told the chancellor that I have no war plans on my desk, which is the truth.
They're in the drawer.
We've got all means at our disposal to deal with Saddam Hussein.
We've since learned that the plans were on his desk before we were hit on 9/11. Now, this month, before the president's announcement about the 21,000 more troops to be deployed to Iraq, White House officials met with news executives and reporters for a background briefing. Tim Russert of NBC News gave this account. There's a strong sense in the upper echelons of the White House that Iran is going to surface relatively quickly as a major issue in the country and the world in a very acute way. Now, if you think war with Iran is far-fetched, then recall how we got to where we are today. Only 4 months ago, my guest, former State Department official Daniel Ellsberg, pondered this very situation.
The regime change seems to be the main objective this administration believes it needs. It desires and needs regime change in Iran. The question is, could they possibly think that they could achieve that to our advantage by a military attack on Iran? And I'm afraid my experience in Vietnam and in studying the government since then is that, yes, a small group of decision makers deciding in secret without feedback, even from their, without listening even to their own in-house experts, and certainly without any interaction or feedback with the public or Congress, they can convince themselves that the American interest would be served by what seems blatantly to others to be a crazy scheme.
Well, crazy or not, I'm afraid here it comes. An attack on an army base in Karbala this week that claimed five lives is being promoted as an action by Iranian operatives. According to whom? The Pentagon. The proof? As of now, none. Iran is being painted as the source of sophisticated IEDs now terrorizing our troops, again, without verification. Virtually every article about American casualties now mentions Iran. We're in a very precarious situation. The president has sent a second aircraft carrier task force to the Gulf and is shipping Patriot missile batteries to various sheikdoms. He won't listen to Congress, and you can forget the Iraq study group, whose chairman reminded us that diplomacy is not appeasement. Right now, Congress is still mulling the 21,000 troops Bush is already shipping to Iraq. Hey, that horse has left the barn. If Congress wants to really save the day, they need to draft a resolution to prevent one man from taking this country into another war all by himself. Now, don't get me wrong. Is Iran meddling in Iraq? Sure they are. Are they supplying Shiite insurgents? Most likely. Remember, though, the Shiites are the leading government contingent. It's the out-of-power Sunnis that are most threatening to our troops right now. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki fears escalation. He is pleading for diplomacy.
Iran and America, we are ready to pay efforts to solve the problems between them if it is possible. But not on the account of Iraq. Iraq has nothing to do with the American-Iranian struggle. And we will not let Iran play a role against the American army, and we will not allow America to play a role against the Iranian army.
Do I want a nuclear-armed Iran? Absolutely not. But do I want another preemptive war in the Middle East based on false or misleading evidence, conjured in secret, and presented to the American people as fact, with no meaningful inquiry or public debate? Hell no.
Wow.
Right now, the pattern is all...
Catherine Cryer appears to be channeling Keith Olbermann. And I have a new level of respect for her. I didn't have much for her before, but I've got some now. I have to say, that's a very powerful piece and a strong commentary. I wish it had appeared on a major corporate network instead of Court TV. All right, a quick break and we return for more of your phone calls. There are lines available if you'd like to join us in the free speech zone. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Well, some better news for an earlier accident in SoCal. Main Street at SoCal Drive. Two vehicles had been in the roadway, then on the right-hand shoulder. And that's where they are now. Tow truck actually on scene, working on hooking up the vehicles, clearing them all the way out of there. Gonzales, northbound 101, just after Fish Street. Watch out for an accident over on the right-hand shoulder. This is a big rig and another vehicle involved in that. So at least a big rig tow truck in route to pick up those. Monterey County, westbound 68 at Lorellis Grade. An earlier stall has been cleared from the roadway. And also an earlier stall in Rio Del Mar, northbound 1 at Rio Del Mar Boulevard. That's been cleared from the lanes as well. This report is brought to you by McDonald's. Your mornings just got better. Wake up to McDonald's 100 days of free coffee. Coffee that's rich, delicious, and absolutely free. 5 to 7 a.m. at participating McDonald's. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Yeah. And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're taking your phone calls in the free speed zone 21 minutes after the hour. No lines open right now, but when somebody hangs up, call us. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com, and I welcome your emails. I'm still getting over that clip I just played in the preceding segment from Catherine Cryer. I mean, on Court TV, aren't they supposed to be wall-to-wall Anna Nicole's autopsy, the fight over her body, the battle over her money? I mean, to imagine that Catherine Cryer found time amid all of the tabloid distractions that she's ordered to cover on Court TV to talk about the most important issue, Iran, well, it's just stunning to me in a very good way. I'm just happy to see that, and maybe that'll be a virus that can spread into other parts of the corporate media. Back to your calls now. Mildred's on the line from Coos Bay listening to KBBR. Hello, Mildred.
Hi, Peter B.
Thanks for calling. I think you're a first-timer.
Second time.
Second, okay, great.
Okay, I have a question about Americans being paralyzed that you talked about a bit ago,
mm-hmm.
and you really hit the nail on the head as to why we can't get anything done politically. And since you are in the political thick of things, what is your idea of what causes Americans to be paralyzed? You know, and if you can tell us in a summary way, mm-hmm. that would help, because everything that I've read and heard, I get bits and pieces, but I don't really understand the whole picture.
Yeah. Well, it is complex, and, you know, in a radio show, we can try to talk about some aspects of it. I think that, here's one of my pet theories, Mildred, that market research has become so sophisticated that let's just use, for example, the TV networks. They go out there and they do these detailed studies on thousands of Americans. And one of the things that they've done over the past few years in lowering the cost of primetime television production, you know, Friends was costing them $6 million an episode. Mm-hmm. So they said, well, what can we do that's cheaper that will get either the same or more viewers? And so they did all these surveys, and I'll shortcut here. You know, my view is that they asked people, what makes your skin crawl? What can we put on television that you find so revolting that you just have to watch it? And that's what produced these, you know, things like Survivor and the shows on NBC where they dare you to eat worms. You know, all of these so-called reality shows are not about reality at all. They're about pandering to the desire of the average viewer to feel superior to the jokers they see on TV. Mm-hmm. And so we have this relentless parade, the daytime TV shows, you know, with hosts who can only have one name. They bring up the worst of, you know, trailer trash in our country of every race. And they get these people, Judge Judy. I mean, all these people come on there and they display their moronic behavior. And this turns into entertainment. And it kind of replicates itself. And you get a view of people who couldn't care about Iran or Iraq if you paid them because they're so caught up in just day-to-day life and, you know, finding a way to get more calories.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of it. Then we have a failure of political leadership. And that, if I, you know, distill that, comes back to campaign finance. What paralyzes our government is elected officials who are looking to their donors, not to their voters, for guidance. And they make choices, very clear choices, based on who's paying for their campaigns. And if we were to clean up the campaign process and publicly fund those campaigns, we could help improve that situation in some respect. So those are two angles I'll take on it, Mildred. Thanks for your call today. Great to have you listening in Coos Bay.
Thank you.
All right, next to Matthew in Surprise. Welcome, Matthew. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. I was very concerned today to hear on the news that a bill was slipped into one of the things that was going to pass, saying that the president can declare martial law anytime he feels like it for whatever reason.
You're right. In the fall, attached to one of the defense appropriations
right.
bill was a modification to what I believe is called the Posse Comitatus Act. Or,
right. Now, the thing is this. Over 6 months ago, I was telling my friends, look out, we're going to have martial law before the election because the president doesn't want to have a chance for a Democrat to be elected president. So he'll declare martial law and call off the election with some trumped-up charges of necessity, and we won't even have an election. I'm just wondering what we can do in advance to prevent this.
Not a lot, because it would be a surprise move by Bush, and
nothing would surprise me.
No, but I mean they would spring it on us without warning.
Right.
And I honestly consider it to be a remote possibility. I don't think that he's such a megalomaniac that he thinks that he should be president for life or become dictator for the foreseeable future. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it, but at this point, even I don't see him as that extreme. With that said, he is preparing for this assault on Iran, which makes no sense to anybody with any brains and any knowledge of the region.
Well, he can do that, then he can declare martial law just as easily.
I cannot refute that, sir. I'd like to, but I can't.
I would like to see some kind of a call back of the law in Washington, where the people who are more responsible say we're going to cancel that part of the bill.
Well, we need a lot of work in Washington to review the damage that's been done by this Republican wrecking crew to reinstate important legislation that has been neutered or just obviated in one manner or another. And I believe it starts with the Military Commissions Act. We've got to return the right of habeas corpus to everyone detained by the United States.
Right.
And we have to return to the supremacy of our Constitution. We have not tangled yet in this new term with the Democratic leadership with the NSA spying program. And the president wants the Congress to legalize that retroactively. I'm bitterly opposed to that. They've been breaking the law intentionally and bragging about it. And we cannot let that stand and simply say, we were attacked and, we had to do everything we could to protect our country. He has abrogated our rights, and we need to stand up. And it starts with putting some spine into our democratic elected leaders.
Okay, let's just hope that they get enough spine in time.
Yeah, maybe we need to put some rods in there like a scoliosis patient would get. Matthew, thanks for your call. Good to have you listening.
Bye.
I appreciate that. We're going to take more calls in the next segment, so grab a line and we'll chat with you. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8377. Did I get that right? Yeah, 8372. I do that from memory, and sometimes, just like Scooter Libby, my memory just freezes up on me. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake Elistero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM. Listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show at 33 minutes after the hour. I've had enough commercials for now. How about you? And during the break, I'm still amazed at this powerful commentary that Catherine Cryer delivered on Court TV, critical of the Bush administration for its intentions toward Iran. And it took a little while, but if you go to CourtTV.com, go to the very bottom of the page and it says Contact. And then at a contact page, you can select the TV show that she has called Cryer Live, C-R-I-E-R. And I just wrote a brief note here. I said, brava on Iran commentary, hell no. And I'm going to click submit right here and set an example for you. So if you want to do that too, go right ahead. Rhonda in Mesa, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome. Rhonda, did you make it? Oh, Rhonda, did you give up on me? I'm sorry. Let's go to line four. It's Peter in Chicago. Rhonda, if you can call back, I'd be happy to talk with you. Go ahead, Peter.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Not too bad
tonight. I just got a couple of quick little questions I want to get your idea on. One is, I was wondering, at what point do you think the Democrats will realize that impeachment is going to be the only option that we have to stop the Bush administration from doing all these stupid things?
I don't know. They seem intent on running through the entire playbook before, you know, really getting aggressive. Now, that said, you know, I believe that ultimately Russ Feingold is correct, that they will have to move to cut off funding, maybe not entirely, but move to cut off funding before Bush actually responds. I think that John Murtha's plan is really clever because his plan protects the troops in denying Bush the resources to send more of them into Iraq. And I think that that is an interesting approach. But ultimately, it's going to take principled Republicans who depart from their loyalty to the White House, who stand up and say, like Gordon Smith of Oregon has, I'm sorry, I cannot continue to bite my tongue and support this misguided war. And, you know, we need about a half dozen Republicans to move into that direction. And at that point, we'd have more than 60 votes to stop adventures, either past or future. And, you know, at this point, because only 2 years remain, and of course, Clinton was impeached with only 2 years remaining in his term, I think there is a political reluctance by the Democrats to take this on. And we need to keep the pressure on and say, investigate, hold them accountable, up to and including impeachment. We cannot take that threat off the table the way Pelosi has.
Yeah, she's going to have to figure out some kind of way of publicly putting that back on the table at the absolute minimum.
Well, I think she can bow to public pressure, and also if Patrick Fitzgerald takes the Libby, assuming there's a guilty verdict there, and I know Stephen Phoenix has his free Libby party, all the beer's chilled. But I think that if Fitzgerald is able to put more pressure on Cheney through the Libby trial and a conviction that would cause Libby to sing, that's one route. But, of course, everybody believes that Bush is going to pardon Libby, so that's going to keep him from singing for the foreseeable future.
Can Bush and Cheney both be impeached at the same time?
I don't believe so. I think you'd have to take them onesie-twosie.
All right. Thanks for your time there.
Okay. Great to talk with you, Peter. And bye-bye. It looks like Doug Ferrari's on the line, comedian Doug Ferrari. Hey, Doug.
Good afternoon, Peter.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Now, Doug works...
I'm trying to get some news on the news.
Well, Doug works nights, and so he's got daytime, and you get to watch MSNBC and all those programs all day long. So what do you have for us right now, Doug?
Well, if I was getting stuff off the news, I'd have 10 days of Anna Nicole Smith's decomposing body.
Yeah.
Because that's all they talk about.
Oh, jeez.
You know, it's unbelievable. See, I've actually been forced to watch CNN, which I don't like, because they've actually had some news on in the last 10 days. Everything else is that psycho judge in Florida who's auditioning for his own TV show, going on and on about poor and leave the poor woman alone,
yeah.
For God's sakes.
Well, and, really, they should get in line. James Brown's body has been unburied far longer than Anna Nicole Smith's.
Yeah, but Anna Nicole Smith's will last longer because large portions of it are plastic. But see, I'm doing it again myself now. I couldn't help it.
Yeah. All right, well, no more about Anna Nicole. We have decreed on this program that we're not going to get into that tabloid junk. We also have not talked about Britney's haircut or her various attempts to go in and out of rehab. I guess she's been in and out again in the last 48 hours.
Yeah, there's two kinds of rehab now. There's a kind where you go to get clean and sober, and there's a kind where you go to hide after you've done something wrong.
You think she tried to check into the place where Mark Foley's been?
Yeah, there's Mark Foley. Gavin Newsom is in, I guess, an outpatient program.
Right, he's the mayor of San Francisco for our foreign listeners.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's not real rehab. It reminds me of the comic in L.A. that used to go to AA meetings so he could meet producers.
Yeah, what step is that?
Yeah, that's the 7 steps to a career.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else you got for us today, Doug?
Well, you said you wanted to talk about Hillary Clinton and Obama going at it with each other. They're putting up Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side, Obama and Bill Richardson, and I'm wondering, what country are they living in? I don't know if we're ever going to have a woman president. For 20 years, I've been saying we should have a woman president in this country on stage, and no woman has ever applauded.
Yeah.
And, if we had a woman president, it'd lock her up 3 to 5 days a month if she couldn't get at the nuclear button. We had a black president, he'd have to sit in the back of Air Force One. And if Bill Richardson were president, he'd be asking for his immigration papers every time he went to the White House. I really don't know if those are possible choices in this country. Although the Dixie Chicks made a comeback, so anything is possible.
Yeah, it sure is. All right, Doug, thanks for checking in today. Great to talk to you.
Okay.
All right. That's Doug Ferrari. You can go to his website, DougFerrari.com. And he mentioned the Hillary Obama situation. I have an item here from the Associated Press. There is some bickering already underway between the camps of Obama and Clinton. The Clinton campaign says that Obama had vowed to bring a more civil tone to the debate. And David Geffen gave an interview where he basically said that he thinks that Senator Clinton is ambitious and polarizing. So the Clinton campaign has responded as if David Geffen had been speaking for Barack Obama. Now, Geffen was once a top donor to Bill Clinton, but he said in the interview that Clinton is a reckless guy, and he doesn't think Hillary can bring the country together during a time of war, no matter how smart or ambitious she is. So Howard Wolfson fired back from the Clinton campaign. If Senator Obama is indeed sincere about his repeated claims to change the tone of our politics, he should immediately denounce these remarks, remove Mr. Geffen from his campaign, and return his money. Huh? The Obama campaign declined to denounce Geffen or give back any money, but issued its own statement. We're not going to get in the middle of a disagreement between the Clintons and someone who was once one of their biggest supporters, according to Obama Communications Director Robert Gibbs. It's ironic that the Clintons had no problem with David Geffen when he was raising $18 million for him and sleeping at their invitation in the Lincoln bedroom. Ouch! Ouch! Do we have to bring Rodney King in here? Can't we just get along? Sheldon in Scottsdale, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, what's going on, Peter B.?
I'm talking to you.
Hey, you know, I want to talk about the depleted uranium. And I've been, I grind senators and representatives every day. I mean, constant barrage from me.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, I'll tell them I'm in their district and blah, blah, blah. I give them zip. And then they take you more seriously and then they'll want to talk to you. But this depleted uranium, and hear me out. This has got to be the most despicable, disgusting thing America has ever been involved with. Because here's why. There is absolutely no justification to use those type of weapons. We got plenty of normal weapons caches you can use.
Mm-hmm.
I say, what is the justification? Why do you need to use that on... You know, somebody could make the claim that, well, it's a real hardened steel and you use them to penetrate tanks. Well, you ain't fighting.
Yeah, Sheldon,
tanks.
Sheldon, I share your concern. I think that it is amoral, and it is just so wrong of the United States, given its military superiority, to have used DU rounds in Iraq, including after we toppled the government there.
Yeah, here's the only reason. The only reason you would justify that type of weapon is if you wanted to cause long-term destructive diseases and cause problems with the civilians there for years. And you talk about making people angry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about this, P2B. What about 30 years from now when those kids are getting cancer and all this death and disease?
Well, it's going to last.
Kids are picking it up and eating it.
Sheldon.
They're going to say those effing Americans.
Right.
They dropped this stuff on us.
It's the legacy that will be there for generations. And let's stop being so generous. Let's be selfish for a minute, Sheldon.
Okay.
We have exposed our own soldiers to the residue of depleted uranium. Obviously, most of that exposure was unintentional. But we have documented cases of soldiers who have returned from Iraq, who have fathered children, who were born with a specific kind of birth defect. Often the thumb is missing. And this mirrors the birth defects that are showing up in Iraq on an alarming basis.
I have not heard. That's unbelievable, too.
It is. And so for us to have said that we had to unilaterally invade Iraq in order to depose the dangerous dictator who we believed had chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons, which he was willing to either use on us or give to a third party to use on us. We argue that in order to, prevent that grave and gathering threat, as it was described at the time, that we have then the rationale of the legitimacy to go into that country and use weapons of mass destruction, not just depleted uranium, Sheldon, but white phosphorus was used in a shake-and-bake maneuver. It's supposed to be used defensively to light up the sky so that you can come in and conduct some sort of a raid during dark hours. But we used it as a weapon. Not just as a way of illuminating the battle scene.
Real quick, most of them, when you talk to them, most of them act like they never heard of it. And they'll go, oh really? And they'll try to change the subject, or I don't really know what that is.
Yeah.
I'll find out, and I'm like, come on. I'm talking to some of them, the Senate, you know, the Arms Committee, and their people, and they're like, no, I've never heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
BS.
Well, Sheldon,
you know, this is the most important thing, is that I want the people out there to call your representative and grind them and say, it's clear, what is the justification to use these weapons on the Iraqi citizens?
Yeah. Sheldon, thanks.
We won't have an answer.
I'm really pleased that you brought it up. It's a difficult subject. We have talked about it on this program. And if you haven't seen it already, there's a great documentary that you can find from the Guerrilla News Network. Their website is gnn.tv. And I can't remember the name of it exactly, but it's on the homepage, and you can download it for free or for $15, something like that. And it really shows you the residue. They take a Geiger counter out to some of the, the scarred scenes in Iraq where we have tanks or armored personnel carriers that, you know, are riddled with background radiation, some of it at 900 times the level that is safe for humans to be exposed to. So it's a very important story, very undercovered, and we will continue to focus
on it.
Excellent.
Thank you, B2B.
Thank you, Sheldon.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for the show.
My pleasure. More of your calls coming up next. There's room for you in the free speech zone here. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
It's your final look at Central Coast traffic. A little bit of better news, actually, this time around for SoCal Main Street. At SoCal Drive, we had a two-vehicle accident. That accident has completely been cleared now, so you're going to see no delays to traffic throughout the area. Marina southbound 1 just after 12th Street. Keep your eyes open. Got a garden hoe dropped in the right-hand lane there. Again, southbound 1 after 12th Street, garden hoe in the right-hand lane. Northbound 101 just after Old Stage Road in Gonzales. We got a couple vehicles involved in an accident. It's actually a big rig and another vehicle. CHP is on scene taking a report, just waiting for a tow truck to arrive. And Santa Cruz Mountains, both directions of Highway 17, check and install and accident free. This report brought to you by Office Depot. Don't risk running out of ink and slowing down your business. Hurry into Office Depot for hundreds of ink, toner, and fax supplies, all at unbeatable prices. Let Office Depot lend you a hand. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
that achy, breaky song, the most annoying song I know. And if you play that song, that achy, breaky song, I might blow up my radio.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and that's Weird Al with our official theme music whenever we talk about John Brakey, who's one of our election protection folks at auditaz.us. We pull out the Achy Brakey ripoff song there. And I have an email from John Brakey about an event coming up in Tucson this weekend. I want our KPHX listeners to know about this. It is an election integrity event featuring Stephen Freeman. Stephen Freeman has the real facts about the 2004 election. He's an award-winning author, election integrity activist, and he will be doing a book signing in Tucson this Friday night, 6:30 p.m., February 23rd at the Plumbers and Steam Fitters Union Hall. And if you're in Tucson, stop by and meet Stephen. And it turns out that Paul Leto, the attorney with the Election Defense Alliance, who was active in the contested election in Washington State a few years ago, and also was retained to deal with the issues in California District 50, the Busby Bill Bray races, Paul Leto is going to be attending that event. So it's Friday night, 6:30 p.m. in Tucson at the Plumbers and Steam Fitters Union Hall. And if you want more information, I think the best thing to do is go to auditaz.us. Auditaz.us. And John Brakey, thanks for updating me on that event. Now to Tom in Phoenix. Hello, Tom. Thanks for holding on. You're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. That last caller was an excellent caller. I like what he had to say about the EU. It is a major problem, and it hits on an issue that I want to talk to you about. Is so many talk. I listen to talk shows all the time, and so many of the mainstream talk shows just talk about it's a liberal thing or it's a Republican thing or a conservative thing. All this stuff that we're talking about, in my opinion, is really a right and wrong thing. It really shouldn't be labeled liberal, and it really shouldn't be labeled conservative. For instance, the DU thing, how anybody in their craziest minds could ever vote for Clinton in this upcoming election. She's been a warmonger from the beginning. To tell me she doesn't know about the DU stuff is crazy. And right there alone shows me that she has no respect for human life. I don't care what anybody says. But that's just one of them. I mean, there's so many on the Republican side. John Cain, how could you ever vote for somebody who wants to continue this war? I don't know how you feel, but it just gets me so burned up that there aren't more people ranting and raving. I watched that movie last night, U.S. versus John Lennon, and why we don't have the protesting in the streets like that movie. I just don't understand it.
Well, I'm reluctant to say this, but I'll say it anyway, Tom. I survived the Vietnam era. I was of draft age. I was number 4 in the final draft lottery. And it pains me to say this in some ways, but my own activism at the time was certainly fueled in part by the threat that my ass might be sent to Vietnam. And because Bush has cleverly or accidentally structured this war as one that requires no sacrifice by the average American, either in terms of taxes or, even demanding some of our attention.
You're absolutely right. If I can butt in real quickly,
yeah, go ahead.
You're right, because I totally agree. He's making it as invisible as possible. Just the simple fact that he prohibited the photographs of the caskets coming across, that was like, okay, it's out of our sight, so nobody's going to get upset. But people, boy, did people get mad when they saw the caskets coming across, and, in where is it, Dover, I think they come into?
That's right, Dover, Delaware.
And then he put an end to that.
Yeah.
It's as if it's an invisible war to a certain degree.
It is, and, I hate to bring it back to that, but we can blame the media, we can blame the Democrats, but we have to take some of this responsibility ourselves. And, it's hard for me still to believe, even with the chicanery in Ohio in 2004, that the election was that close that it could have been stolen in Ohio. You know, why weren't more Americans aware by 2004 of what this president has done to us and how important it was to stop him? And John Kerry wasn't a perfect candidate. We're never going to have a perfect candidate. But, to watch him twist in the wind under the swift boat attacks And to see the president prevail, however narrowly, however illegally, it just shows us that the American people can easily be hoodwinked. And that's a lesson we need to take forward.
Well, I think when you said the media has a lot to do with it, I think it really does. I really think they're in cahoots with both the Republicans and the Democrats, and you really have to get your news from the alternative sources. The DV Kids of the world, the Alex Joneses of the world, the Jeff Rentzes of the world, they're looked at as wackos, but they have a lot of good things to say. Oh, and I don't know if good things is the right word, but a lot of accurate things to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I think we need to listen to all viewpoints in including those on the right, so that we're aware of what's going on and can conduct ourselves accordingly with the, you know, appropriate awareness and action. So, Tom, thanks a lot for your call. I want to squeeze in one more. It's Dave from Eureka. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Peter. I think you got Benny in your lines, the phone lines today.
Really? What's going on?
Oh, I got disconnected and unplugged a couple times. But I also wanted to let you know that anybody that has a congressman that isn't actively out right now trying to do the best they can to end the craziness of this administration, we got to be all over there, but calling them, writing them, emailing them, whatever we can do.
Mm-hmm.
I understand somebody suggested I should be put on the payroll for such wisdom as this.
No, it was Larry from Monterey called and said that he hadn't heard you today and he wondered if I hadn't paid you. So I just told him we do pay. It's not true, but it was the best answer at the time.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Well, thanks to you all for a great show today. It's real gratifying for me to talk to important people, talk to people who know more than I do, share that information with you, and then get your phone calls, emails, and reactions. This is a show that's real important to me, and I know from hearing from you that it's important to a lot of people who listen. But it's a way that I cope with the madness of our times, the sheer lunacy that we have to confront on a daily basis. And I thank each and every one of you for the support that you offer, even if you've never called the program. I know you're there, and for Matt Renner and me, it makes all the difference in the world. What do you say we hop on Trigger here right off into the sunset? We'll be back at you tomorrow with another 3 hours of the Peter B. Collins Show. Same time, same stations.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5. For 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. She checked into this world weighing less than 10 ounces and measured less than 10 inches long 4 months ago. But now doctors say Amelia Taylor has gained enough weight, length, and strength to go home for the first time.
She's now 38 weeks, and she's actually going home 2 weeks before she was due to be born.
Dr. William Smallings is among her caregivers at Baptist Children's Hospital in Miami. Sonia Taylor thought her daughter would have to stay in a few more days.
They called me first thing this morning to let me know. That was my wake-up call. She's coming home.
Doctors say Amelia has a long road ahead, but they're optimistic. Only minor injuries this morning as a U.S. military chopper went down in Iraq. Here's CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick.
Initial reports indicate it was small arms fire and rocket-propelled grenades which caused this helicopter to make a hard landing. This was a Black Hawk helicopter. It had a crew of four and five passengers on board. This happened just north of Baghdad. There were no major injuries, and all on board were immediately evacuated.
Scooter Libby's fate is now in the jury's hands. Dick Cheney's former right-hand man is accused of lying about the leak of a CIA operative's name to the media. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
This was not a terribly complicated case, and it certainly wasn't as long as it was intended to be, since Louis Libby himself and Vice President Cheney did not testify. But that doesn't mean we ought to expect these jurors back immediately with a verdict. There is a lot of he said in this trial, and these sorts of conflicts about evidence often take time to resolve during deliberations.
A rough week in the oil business means you'll have to dig a little deeper at the gas pump, oil industry analyst John Kilduff.
The one significant refinery in Texas, a Valero facility, looks like it may be down for some time because of a significant fire that occurred. If that is the case, look for prices now to continue their breakout.
Also contributing to the spike, an oil refinery being offline in Alaska, a pipeline leak in Indiana. That Coke bottle will be a little more crowded soon. The company says it's adding caffeine content to labels of everything it sells in the U.S. Spokeswoman Diane Garza.
It allows our consumers to be really mindful of the decisions that they make. It makes it easier for them to make choices.
She says the new labels will roll out in May. Well, after